B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At what point did you find out that it might even be a possibility that, Char could play? And what does it say about him that that is a possibility?
Well, I mean, he was never ruled out. Even the other night in St. Louis, he was ruled out for that third period. I mean, we talked about that. After that, it was going to be day-to-day. I mean, the first thing you worry about is, like, a concussion, right? Because then you're into protocol. So we avoided that, or Z avoided that, so that was good news. And then it's a matter of, well, you know, what's next? So I guess yesterday we got a better idea, and then this morning, you know, he's here. Obviously, he's on the ice skating, so now it's real.
In case you're just joining us or haven't heard, Zdeno Chara out there practicing this morning with a face shield and will be a game time decision tonight with what we believe is a broken jaw. And that's the story. He is apparently unable to talk. And so he allowed a pool reporter to come ask him some questions, which he responded to with written statements.
He's like hockey Stephen Hawking.
I love this.
I don't know if he wrote it into a computer and gave it to him or texted it or actually wrote on a notepad, but Zdeno Chara wrote today because he's unable to open his mouth to speak.
Give me pen and I would give answer.
At this time of the playoffs, everyone has injuries and there are challenges that you have to overcome to play. I'm no different than any player on either team. You don't think about further injury. You think about playing. You don't go into a game thinking you might get hurt. And that's Char from today. Written, not spoken, because he can't open his mouth. And he might play tonight, just days after taking a slap shot off the jaw and what, you know, has been reported, we believe, is suffering a broken jaw.
I'm like any player in any other game, except for Dougie Hamilton.
What a story.
That's insane.
Yeah. What a story.
He can't talk. My gosh. Program director's getting all kinds of ideas about us right now.
Hey, so what does that mean for the lineup? Cassidy also addressed these things. So, Jimmy, you know, let's hear this. Let's hear Cassidy on playing seven. And that also, by the way, Grizzlick was out there this morning with a regular jersey, not a red non-contact jersey. So does that mean he's been cleared one step further? He's also considered a game time decision, but it's possible they activate both Chara and Grizzlick, sit a forward, and play with seven defensemen. So give me that one. Jimmy Cassidy on 7D, number two.
Yep, it is. I mean, depends who's in there. There are different reasons that go into that. I don't want to go through them all right now. I thought we went through some of that yesterday. Depending on which guys are in, how much experience there is, what roles need to be divided. So we could play seven.
Okay, so openly saying that could be a possibility. Chara on the penalty kill, Grizzlick on the power play, John Moore 5-on-5.
Something like that. Yeah, and again, just the very beginning of it, right? When he's asked the question, yeah. I mean, there's no, well, we'll see, or yep.
Yep.
Like, and given and given Cassidy's history, like, I just think he's not one to dink around. It's not his nature. So they're clearly, I think that we have a rough idea of the way they would like to go.
Okay. So the thing is, though, Grizzlick just on the power play. I mean, last game they got two power plays. And Grizzlick's on the second power play. And when your power play is going, the second unit doesn't even get out there. So if you're just activating Grizzlick to play on the power play, that to me doesn't make any sense. He's got to play 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think my guess is Grizzlick will see more than just power play.
Okay, so Chara on the PK, Chara on defensive zone starts. I mean, they get the last change. So, you know, if you've got a defensive zone face-off against a Tarasenko line in a key spot, Chara, like that, you know, you can really spot Chara there. That I get. Spotting Grizzlick just on the power play, that's a waste of an activation. What if you don't get power plays?
Yeah, no. He'll see more than that, and they need him to get the puck out of the zone 5-on-5 anyway.
Okay, so 7D means 11 forwards. What was his answer on the 11 forwards, Jimmy?
Well, if we go 7D, someone has to come out, obviously up front. It won't be Pasta. So he's moved around a lot. He doesn't kill penalties, right? So you don't expend a lot of energy there. So there's opportunity there to move him around, coming out of penalty kills. Marshy does kill, so it's a little tougher for him to get those double shifts. JoJo doesn't kill. So we could move a right winger around. We could move a left winger around. Heinen's played both sides. So we're comfortable with a guy getting a few extra minutes. I guess it gets taxing, obviously, if you get into extended time. We can't worry about overtimes in this and now. We're just going to play the guys deserve to get a little extra time if we go that route.
Okay, so interesting, right? When you don't kill penalties, so Pastrnak and Johansson are the big, are the big considerations there. Heinen's played both sides, but he does kill penalties. And I will add, he sucks.
I mean, I think Cassidy is saying basically what we've said.
And just let me take it back. Heinen doesn't suck. He's fine. He really bugged me in this last game. He really hurt them in this last game. It was not a good night for Danton Heinen. And as we call him the quiet one because I've been told he has a quiet game, which I would agree with. Sometimes so quiet as to be silent. So he's just one of these subtle players. And I get it. He has some qualities, but this is a big boy series, and I feel like he gets lost in it.
Yeah, he's Silent Bob. He's a Silent Bob or the Charlie Chaplin of the NHL. But look, he's saying basically what we've talked about. Double shift Pastrnak, double shift Johansson. I mean, that's the way I'd go. Backus is playing how many minutes anyway? 10?
He's played 10, and he's hardly plays in the third period.
So I just look at it and say, I don't think that one is that hard. Pastrnak's young. I think that's totally doable with moving the forwards around. I worry more about the D than I do the forwards.
Okay, so all that will be interesting to track and see how the Bruins and Bruce Cassidy doles all that out. The real interesting part, though, is the Dano Čar hitting the ice and that emotional lift that you'll get at the beginning. Now, if he sucks, they fall behind 1-0, he doesn't play well, like that all goes away. And maybe that even kind of, at the end of the day, if you lose tonight, even makes it a worse loss. Char's going to do all this. He's going to put himself through this. He's going to have this kind of moment, and you're not going to respond. And you're going to lay in it. So it's almost worse if he plays and you lose. But all that being said, broken jaw, and he's going to play two nights later. It feels like I keep saying we're on the verge of a moment. We're going to have a moment tonight, possibly with Zdeno Chara in the Garden. What are your thoughts? Ed and Drake, what are your thoughts?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call, guys. First time, long time. Three quick questions. Number one, if Chowder's jaw is wide, wouldn't he naturally just have a hard time breathing? Second of all, Backus, wouldn't they play him tonight just to make sure nobody goes hunting on Chara? And last but not least, will the refs have a little tolerance to any head hunting, knowing Chara's situation? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Also, I'll go backwards because I actually had to write these down. The refs shouldn't give him any sort of special treatment because he has got a broken jaw.
No, if you're going to play, you're playing just like everybody else.
If you're out there, you're out there.
Preferential treatment or anything like that.
There's effectively a sign on the rink, right? Enter at your own risk.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality. So you step on the ice, you take everything that goes with it.
And if the Blues target him, I don't want to hear any crying tomorrow about it. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what you would do if another guy of theirs had a known injury.
No question.
So none of that. No. No protection, no extra looking, no It's full go, and you should expect him to get run. Backus being out there protection to make sure he doesn't get run. Has Backus and Backus's presence?
He hasn't been an intimidating factor at all.
Has that caused the St. Louis Blues to lay up on you guys?
No.
Nope. At all? In fact, if anything, it might have inspired them to hit you more.
They're targeting him half the time, it feels like.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe there's value in that, right? Sort of like you put him out there to take the hit so no one else has to, but I don't think that's working either.
So Backus's presence out there, it hasn't worked so far in getting them off of you. So I don't know how that would help tonight. He's going to go around out there protecting Chara? No. And if his jaw's wired shut, do we know his jaw's wired shut? He can't open it to talk.
Yeah, so it's got to be.
Not necessarily. I mean, it could just be a pain and swelling thing, and he can't do it. So, I don't think we know definitively what has gone on there in terms of procedure, non-procedure, plate, wires. I haven't seen that anywhere. Have you, Murray?
No.
There's been no. I heard he was undergoing surgery the other day, but that was, single source Felger, sketchy source Felger. I have no idea. I haven't heard anyone else report that he actually had surgery. Have they? Has anyone?
I haven't seen that at all.
I mean, which adds another layer to it. Like, if they went in there and they, like, put a plate in, like they, you know, it's, and I say invasive, all surgery is invasive, but he had a procedure which is more trauma on the jaw, and he's playing the next day.
So it also could be grades of this stuff, and we don't, I mean, when you get a root canal, they're technically going into your jaw a little bit, aren't they?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, so what if it's just, it was a really bad, you know, busted tooth slash broken jaw kind of thing, you know, and that's what we're talking about.
Could be.
And I don't mean to diminish the thing. It's like just me saying those words. I want to take a week off just saying those words. But, I mean, what if that's what we're talking about? That broken jaw is just a chip at the bottom of the tooth, blah, blah, blah.
So can I give you another layer on this thing that I told you I tried to call around a little today? If he lost some teeth, it might actually help him because it's easier to breathe.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. Like, how about that for a theory?
Did you talk to Dr. D'Amico, did you?
Well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you who I talked to. I'm just going to say that, again, think about it. If your jaw is wired shut, your teeth are there, right? It's hard to get the airflow.
Right, that's right.
But if your teeth are gone, you can get the air in and out easier. I mean, it might benefit him to have lost a few teeth on this thing. And, in fact, if he didn't, they should consider going in and pulling him out.
Just so he can breathe.
I say that half-joking, but I'm serious.
Just so he can breathe.
Matt, someone told me that today.
Matt in Hanover. What do you got, Matt?
I got a .7 defenseman with Char invention, Krejci. You know, he hasn't done anything this entire series.
Take him out of uniform, you mean? Like put him on the ninth floor?
Put him on the ninth floor, yeah.
Okay, that's strong. That's strong to quite strong.
I mean, he sucked, but they're not going to do that. And even, you know, that clip that we came back with Cassidy talking about it, when he, I think, half-jokingly said it's not going to be pasta. Part of that, I think, is a jab. This is the kind of the stuff that Cassidy does when he said, okay, well, that would mean we're taking out a forward if we're going to play 7D. It won't be pasta. That also is an admission. Yeah, we know he sucked. You know, so.
It's a good point, Murray.
Well, no, it's a good take. I don't want to ruin it. But the question was specifically, does Pastrnak give you the flexibility to double shift? So he was specifically asked about Pastrnak.
Okay.
Right. I didn't keep the question in there, but because the question was specifically about Pastrnak.
All right, so, I like Murray's picking.
Yeah, no, me too.
I thought that came out of nowhere. I'm sure, you know, has he maybe considered it a tiny bit? Maybe. Krejci or Pastrnak. Is he going to do it? No, because the upside of those two players, even though they've done nothing in this series, is too high.
And there's all sorts of things where, you know, key faceoffs, you throw two centers out there because one guy gets thrown out. You want the second center to take it. So you need four centers, and I don't know. Krejci's been, I think, a passenger for too much of this series. I'm not pleased with him either. But there's too much talent there, too much experience, too much potential for him to have a night and do something. I'm not benching him.
I mean, I'm not telling you he's been great. I don't think he's the real problem on that line.
We continue with your thoughts. Who needs to step up along these lines? Okay, Krejci absolutely needs to wake up. Who else needs to wake up? We'll give you some thoughts on that right after these words.
It's Felger and Mass. It's a Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
The one player that is healthy and has not had a good Cup Final, I think, is Charlie McAvoy, who is a top pairing guy, power play, on 5-on-5. He's a guy that plays a lot of minutes normally with Chara. Okay. But he has not played his best hockey, and I think the Bruins coaching staff feels that he has another level in his game if the Bruins are going to come back and win the series.
All right, I found that interesting. That's Pierre LeBrun from TSN up in Canada. I was listening to his stand-up yesterday when he was saying, I'm not ruling out Zdeno Chara. I just listened to the whole thing. And towards the end of the clip, they got to that. I said, oh, you hear that? The Bruins coaching staff thinks he has another level? So LeBrun heard something there.
Yeah. The more you think about it, I think he's right. I mean, have we seen McAvoy really sort of get engaged in the offensive zone the last couple games? Maybe the last one in particular maybe is what I'm focusing on.
No.
There was the play. Which goal was it? Was it the third goal that he missed coverage on the bad change?
Absolutely.
He and Heinen. So
he did hit the post in this last game, yes. He did walk in.
Oh, yes, correct.
He
correct.
Did.
Yep. So I'd like to see him more engaged in that part of the ice, though. Like, you know, because McAvoy, to me, on that end, can be a game changer.
McAvoy in this series, one goal, no assists, minus two. It's not really, and it was a power play. It was in game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a sieve by Jordan Bennington. And he's your ice time leader. He plays more than anyone. 1 point, minus two. And you want, you know, you say he's been carrying Chara. Chara's a plus one in this series. So that doesn't quite, you know.
No, it's a good point.
Compute. I mean, again, that's Pierre LeBrun hearing it from Bruins coaches.
Yep.
From Bruins coaches.
And McAvoy took a hellacious hit in the last game, too, on the boards there on the side.
Yeah,
was it right by the bench?
And he also basically looked at Tarasenko score that goal,
which
was inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know if I were the Blues, he'd be a guy that I try to hit a lot. And maybe they've done that. I haven't noticed it as much. I feel like Carlo's been getting hit. Certainly the littler guys. Everybody's been getting hit.
I mean, everybody. They hit everybody.
But so McAvoy's got to be better. Again, we talk about going to a higher level. I don't think that's wrong.
File under guys we need more from. Okay? JR had one. JR, again, Jeremy Roenick on this morning with the Midday Show. Great interview. I welcome you to go listen to the whole thing at 98.5thesportshub.com or the Sports Hub app. You can hear the full thing there. He had an idea about who he wants to step up. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the one guy that I think needs to step up and start doing something is David Krejci. You know, he's making some nice plays, but he's not getting on the board. He's not making the greatest setup plays. He's not producing point-wise. And that's a guy that you need to step it up. And, yes, I mean, Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak, they're getting their power play time, but they need to string a couple games together of getting some points. If they do that, the Bruins normally win. When that top line is shut down, you know, it's the Krejci that's got to come through. I mean, you've gotten some great production from Charlie Coyle. I thought Marcus Johansson has played extremely well this playoffs. You've got an amazing production from your fourth line. The third line needs to step up. I think Jake DeBrus has to be a little bit more involved offensively. So, I mean, if that happens, the Bruins will win.
Okay, so he's talking, he said third line there. He means the Krejci-DeBrus line, which is the second line, which I think is now your third or fourth line, frankly. Look, Krejci absolutely zeros. We got nothing. Got nothing in this series, which is, you know, that blows. I don't need to tell you that. I'm not defending the guy. I'm just telling you, I think his lack of production has been mitigated by the fact that Charlie Coyle is giving you that depth scoring. So the team's getting it. They're just getting it from the Coyle line and not the Krejci line. And I think that at the end of the day, it sort of nets out to the same thing. If you get them all going, of course. But you typically don't. The way it works is, you know, your first line, and then you need some secondary scoring, which they've gotten. So I really put more pressure on that first line than I do the Krejci line.
How about just one of them?
Right.
Like, if Coyle keeps going, if you get two out of your four, ultimately, you get production two out of the four, you should be fine. I mean, last game, it was one. It was the Coyle line, and that was it. The rest of it was nothing.
Your big one's Marchand.
Yes, I just think that he's your guy. I mean, again, he's a 100-point scorer. He scored 35 to 40 goals, in between 35 and 40 the last 4 years. He's been one of the best players in the league during the regular season, both in terms of goals and points over the last 4 years, in the top six in both. I think he's in the top four in goals. And you're getting donuts out of him in this series? And again, see, I look at Pastrnak, and I know fans pick on Pastrnak because he's soft. I get it. I don't like it either, but that's who he is. I mean, you knew that the second you drafted him, for crying out loud. He was never going to be a guy that was going to dig in the corners and fight in front of the net. He's just not that kind of player. Marchand is a guy that should be able to win puck battles and play in traffic and deal with the physicality. He's the kind of player that should be able to deal with that. I want more.
Okay, Joey, I think in Fall River, agrees. Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah, so I want to address Marchand. You guys were just talking about I don't know, like, lately, obviously all cup finals, he's been really dormant with the team. He was a hell of a player during the season, as you guys seen. I don't know, he needs to be more active on ice. I feel like
he needs to be more active on ice.
That's a good way to put it.
You're a 100-point guy in the regular season. You can go donuts 5-on-5 in the Stanley Cup final.
So what alarmed me about the last game is he didn't feel engaged. And when I say engaged, like fully, you know, I don't want to say in rat mode, but compete mode, where, like, he's fighting for pucks. It felt to me like a lot of times he just peel off to the boards and then dish it off. And that was it. He didn't shoot it. He didn't go after it. Nothing. It just felt like a passive game from him. And, look, there might be something going on there. There probably is. But you got a guy going out there tonight who's putting all kinds of stuff around his head to protect a busted jaw, and you're just going to stay on the perimeter and, you know, what, float? Not good enough. You got to get more there.
Okay, speaking of the busted jaw, Sean Hutchinson. I'm sorry, Hutchin?
Hutchin, yeah.
Sean Hutchin of the Lowell Sun reports on Twitter, sources close to the situation telling me Zdeno Chara's jaw is not wired shut, suffered no missing teeth, has brace along bottom gum line, has been cleared to play.
So that's good news. I mean, if it's not wired shut, he should be able to breathe.
Should be.
Right. So again, and the fact that he has teeth then becomes irrelevant. Like, you know, again, if the jaw's wired shut, ideally, in theory, no teeth, you get greater airflow in there. But if it's not wired shut, you know, they just supported it. He's protected. He might be, maybe he can go 20 minutes.
I think this is a, Shea, that'd be a pretty big story tonight. Fred in the car says he's an oral surgeon, can shed some light. Fred, please.
I knew this was coming.
Please be as brief as you can.
Now, when you fix a broken jaw, you put a line of like braces on the top and bottom teeth, and you wire it together. So he can be wired together up until game time, take the wires off, put rubber bands on. But, yeah, you can only breathe through your nose, and I don't think that Char can breathe through his nose that well at this point in his career. So, yeah, leave him unwired, leave that brace on there. You can wire him back up, you know, play game seven, play game six, no problem.
So no problem. Are you more susceptible to further injury if you get whacked?
It just hurts a lot. It's not going to be like a long-term career situation. Maybe you have to heal longer when the season's over. But it's just a lot of pain. I've had a lot of patients play lacrosse and play baseball, you know, a few days after having a similar type injury to Char, if that's exactly what he has.
Fred, I know it's going to sound funny. If he were to get hit again, like, is there potential for, you know, I call it lifelong damage there, you know, anything major?
Not really. It would probably take him out maybe for the rest of the series if they really got him in the same spot. But he's not going to be debilitated. You know, worst case, he loses some teeth. You know, but it's not like playing or pitching with a bad elbow or, you know, doing more damage to a knee. It's a little longer healing.
Go to Dr. Fred when you want the prognosis of,
yes, suck it up. Fred, thank you for the call. So, according to Fred, JR is right. Jeremy Roenick was right. Your face can heal when the season's over. That's pretty much what it boils down to. Can he breathe?
So, and look, the pain's no small thing, right? That's a hard thing to block out. Like, so, you know, the question then becomes, how much can you give him in the way of medication without, you know, putting him on cloud nine out there and floating up in the rafters with Murray during the game?
All right. Zdeno Chara reportedly cleared to play tonight with a broken jaw, and you got to assume he's going to give it a go, and you're going to see the captain out there on the ice tonight for Game 5, a pivotal Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That should be good. Here's Murray's update. We come back with more from Felger, Maz, and Canal Street.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We took a similar approach this offseason to last offseason. Just explain why that is the right approach for you.
Well, you know, I think it's just, you know, I have a family at home, and I think they get some of my time and energy, and my, you know, my wife is a very ambitious woman, and she travels a lot, so just trying to divide some responsibility at home, and you know, she supports me a lot, my family supports me a lot, and you know, my kids aren't getting any younger, so just trying to spend the time with them when I can and still get the other things done that I need to get done, and be ready to go when it's time to go.
Brady spoke today down at Gillette, so we'll play some of the sound. It's a big Bruins day, big Zdeno Chara day, but if Brady speaks, we should play it. Especially because I think that answer right there and that excuse is such a steaming pile of bullcrap.
I'm so glad you're saying this.
I mean, it is, and how you people lap it up to me is just a freaking joke. It's a joke how you buy that. Do you understand these OTA practices? They're not 10-hour days. They're not 8-hour days.
They're like an hour and a half.
I think it's like a 3 or 4 hour day. I think you're down there for like 3 or 4 hours, and that's it. And it's not every day. It's like 3 or 4 hours, 3 or 4 days a week. And it's not even, the thing isn't even phase one and phase two. It's that passing camp phase. So it's not even, first of all, the Super Bowl was the first week of February. Camp starts the end of July. So what is that? February, March, April, May, June. 5 months off. 5 months. Then the OTAs are in the middle of it, where again, it's like 3 or 4 hours a day. Maybe it's five, but it's not a full day, not even close, and it's not every day a week. And he can't drive down from Brookline to Gillette because he's got to, what, take his kid to camp when he's got 5 months off a year? It was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's nonsense, people. It's nonsense. And if there's drains on his time, maybe he should be taking less promotional stops to Morocco and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. He could cut back on that end of it, too, couldn't he?
Sure.
So, stop it.
Oh, it's bull crap.
It's bull crap. He doesn't want to go to camp for whatever reason. And, you know, who could blame him? It sucks. It's probably not fun. Who wants to go? Probably no one wants to go. But this whole thing about my wife is ambitious and travels, so you can't have the nanny watch the kids for 4 hours a couple days a week while you go down to Gillette? That's just pure nonsense.
Oh, well, yeah, because the real answer is not good for his brand. And the real answer is, look, I don't want to spend any more time at work than I have to.
I don't need to. I mean, maybe that's it.
Right.
But this thing with the kids, oh, would you stop? Would you please? I mean, tell me whatever you want. Make yourself feel better. But and the people that buy it, to me, are even worse. Would you stop with this?
Well, and again, because more than 90% of the population will sit there and go, well, family's a legit excuse. I got no gripe with them there.
Oh, my God.
Right? So it's just honestly, he hides behind it, I think. But, you know, I just think it's total bullcrap. And if you want to tell me that it's not valuable for him anymore, fine. It's valuable for N'Keal Harry, though. So, again, and I know that, well, yeah, he worked with him in Brooklyn. He called him over his house. Fine. Like what? But the reality is that, to me, it's all about the team framework in that sport.
God, kids aren't getting...
That's asinine, please.
Kids aren't getting younger. Family at home, the wife travels a lot. Like, he's one of us that have to scramble for help and, you know, geez. Or what, you know, and I don't mean to put me with the real working man. I got it pretty good, too. You don't hear me crying about the kids. They got to spend time with the kids. You got to go work. God. And he is five months off for crying out loud.
You might be a bad analogy.
Well, I mean, I don't think I am. People laugh at me.
I'm kidding.
The wife's alarm clock rings at 2:30 every morning. You know, you'll hear whining about it. I can't show up because of the kids. Like, oh my God, we get 5 months off? It's just, that is so patently asinine, Tom. You know, tell that to the Bobos. Don't tell that to me. That's a joke. Yeah, I don't know what makes me worse or makes me angry, that excuse or the people that buy it. Okay, I haven't heard the rest of this. So these are just cuts in my email. So, Jimmy, there's one here that says Tom Brady about contracts. That sounds good. Let me hear that.
You've said 41,000 times that you want to play until you're 45.
Yeah. Is that many?
Yeah. We have to come up with this. Are you still on that, obviously? And yeah. How's the business side of things coming as you enter, you know, a walk year for the first time?
You know, I hope I can play that long. You know, it's, I think you set goals for yourself, and you know, you have to have short term and long term. And the reality is, you know, this year is the most important one, and that's the one that I'm focused on. So I hope there's a lot of football beyond this, but it's a contact sport. I've said that for a long time too, and I don't think you could take those things for granted. I try to work hard to put my body in the best position possible to, you know, withstand the hits and so forth, make all the throws. And, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place right now.
Do you think about the contract, or is that something that just works out and always has?
Yeah, I don't think about it too much, so.
Would you prefer not to be in a walk year when the year starts, or does it matter to you?
I think those things work themselves out, so.
Have there been negotiations, Tom?
That's none of your business.
Hey, Tom, could you talk about
I've never really realized I never really talked about my contract or anything like that, so I don't really want to start doing that now.
Okay, fair enough. They finally got to the question. Do you want a new contract? Have you talked a new contract? And he's not going to go there.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be in a walk here. I mean, who would with his credentials?
I mean, who doesn't want a new contract? Who doesn't want a new signing bonus worth tens of millions of dollars? So, I mean, he obviously would, I think. What's this one? Jimmy says, making up for lost time. Is this more? What is this?
Do you feel like you got to make up at all for lost time, what you missed the last 7-8 weeks?
To make up for what?
For whatever work has been done here, the work that you used to do while you would be here the whole time.
Well, it's, you know, I think trying to get ready individually and collectively is, you know, everyone has different things they have to do. And I think our coaches do a great job with preparing our guys. So, you know, individually guys are coming out here trying to get better. I'm trying to do the same thing. And when we come together like this, gives us a chance to see where we're all at.
Okay, dodging the question.
Totally.
Has he put himself in the absolute best position to succeed with his new receivers? Yes or no? Has he put himself in the absolute best position?
No.
Okay, the whole thing about the Tom Terrific nickname, he. Well, go ahead, Jimmy. What do you say about that?
The Tom Seaver people were really agitated this week with the trademark thing. Did you hear about that?
I did. It's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it, so... I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. So, good lesson learned, and try to do things a little different in the future.
So you did that for Tom Seaver's memory and not for Tom Brady?
Well, I didn't want people associating me with that because that was something that I didn't want, you know, to have happen. So I don't like the nickname. I don't like when people probably give me many nice compliments. Certainly that. It wasn't something I was trying to do out of any disrespect or ill manner or anything like that.
So no plans to use any merchandise or anything?
I hope not.
So he was trademarking it to prevent people from using that against him. You're laughing.
It's just a crock. I mean, what? Were we using the term word salad the other day? That's a word salad. Like, he didn't believe what the hell he just said.
I mean, it feels like a crock. No, I suppose, is it possible that there's some type of renegade outfit or pirate outfit that's putting out Tom Brady T-shirts that say Tom Terrific, and he caught wind of it and thought someone was exploiting him, and so they were going to trademark it to block it? Sure. Entirely possible. I don't rule that out. So I'd like to know more specifics, though, because what he said sounds like absolute dog crap. Sounds like bull crap.
Okay, I want to give you just a few other Patriots items. I meant to do it yesterday. We'll just do it here. Jimmy, I hope you don't mind if we go to 50. Brady, in terms of how he's looked, I just wanted to read you a Greg Bedard line that he put on Boston Sports Journal the other day. He said, "I can't believe how good Tom Brady looks. It's night and day from how he finished the season last year when he looked very skinny and worn out. Again, it all worked out for the Patriots, of course. They won the Super Bowl. But you can tell Brady is trying to avoid that again. So he's put on bulk. He looks a little bigger, filled out. And Bedard says he looks great."
I thought that was apparent when he did the skit with Jimmy Kimmel a few weeks back. He looks a little bit more diesel.
So good.
In the video that I saw, I have to say, he actually looks like, I don't know what the right word is. Like
a football player?
Like an athlete. Yeah. Like, he does. He looks, you know, like a little bit of that V shape going. Like, he looked good.
And not a yoga instructor.
Right. He looked fit. He didn't look like he was eating bonbons in Costa Rica all summer.
But he was gaunt at the end of last year.
Definitely. I mean, he's gotten too skinny, as my grandmother used to say. Put on some weight, Tommy. Sony Michel, this is becoming a developing little thing. Where's this guy?
I'm interested in this story.
Yeah,
I like this story.
And the line from MassLive.com today is the reason for his absence is unclear. Like, I mean, if they're not saying anything about it, and given his history and knee issues, don't you? I think it's going to be related to that.
I mean, to me, what's interesting is when they drafted that running back in the third round, we all went, huh?
Right.
Or we went, that's stupid. You just drafted a running back. What? Maybe they knew something about Michel. Health-wise, off-the-field, why? I mean, who the heck knows? All the guys that have been hurt and missed time because they're hurt have been spotted, right? On the side field, wearing a red jersey. You know, in some way, shape, or form, they've been accounted for. Or there's, you know, Demaryius Thomas hasn't been there. He's recouping the Achilles and blah, blah, blah. Michel, nothing. Not there and no report, no nothing. So who the hell knows what this is about?
Yeah, when you brought this up yesterday, to me, you add it all together from the outside, it looks exactly like what you're saying. Something happened that we don't know about. There's an ailment or an injury there that puts him in doubt for the season, let alone camp.
Okay, two other things quickly I just want to get to, Maz. Something I really like is the coaching thing and some of the bodies that have been out there. Gerard Mayo, not just on the defensive staff, but calling defensive signals. You have Troy Brown out there working with the receivers. You have Deion Branch out there working with the receivers. Devin McCourty said he looks across and he feels old because he played with all these guys. Came into the league crying out loud just around the same time as Gerard Mayo. But I love this part of it, and I think, you know, I've always wondered why in the past they never did more of this. The whole Patriots thing, the culture, the old-timers coming back and coaching the team and being around the team. There was a long portion of time where there was none of these guys. And I thought that the thing with the culture was so important when Bill first got there, bringing all the guys from the Jets over, whether it was assistant coaches or former players like Anthony Pleasant and Otis Smith. And those guys were huge in terms of culture and setting the tone and the program and everything. And I feel like there was a long swath of time there where there wasn't any of his old players coming cycling back. In fact, all the old players, you know, Vrabel and other, you know, Anthony Pleasant coaches somewhere else now. And all these Otis Smith coaches somewhere else. And all these guys are going to other teams. And I'm like, why? They should be here and in this family. It should be a Patriots family and a culture, a thing that keeps, you know, sort of building on itself. And I'm glad to see this. I think this is good. And I think this is, should be what they're doing. If they want to keep the program going forward, when Bill's finally done and Brady's finally done, keep it in the family. Keep these guys coming back. Keep them in the pipeline. So I love seeing that. The backup quarterback, reading from, I can't remember where I pasted this from, so I'm sorry. Maybe it was the Globe. Jared Stidham seems to have leapfrogged Denny Etling on the quarterback depth chart, Maz, as the rookie fourth rounder took reps behind Brady and then Brian Hoyer.
Shocker.
Etling, listen to this, who did a lot of special teams work, including taking reps as the punt protector at one point, did take part in one 11-on-11 session, completing 8 of 9 passes. He's now on the side field as the punt protector?
Well, that's a good sign for him, huh?
I don't think that's a great sign for his roster.
Oh, gosh, again. Seriously, like that's the role? You know, Patrick Chung, who does that now? Is it Ebner?
Thank God I don't.
I think it is Ebner.
I tell people to do that on their own time now.
Like, who the hell knows, right? It's going to be someone who can tackle. I guess it probably is Ebner.
Pat Chung did it in that Jets game. Jimmy, we have Mike Rupp standing by. You want to do this right now? Can we move the spots, or should we take the quick commercial break?
Just go to the top of the hour.
So is that a yes or a no?
That's a yes. Do what you need to do.
Come on, Mike. Let's sit down. I got to check in with the boss first on the commercials. Mike Rupp of the NHL Network is going to join us. He joined us the other day for a good spot, so we'll do it again. You can catch Mike Rupp pregame and postgame on the NHL Network. Unfortunately, he's standing while we're sitting. He's about 6 foot a million, and so it's really going to sort of stand
out. Got a chair right here. We're good.
Okay, we're going to sit him down right now. Mike Rupp, again, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me back here. Excited for this big game five, man.
Have you ever played with a broken jaw?
Every day. No. No?
You ever come close?
I never had it. No, I played with guys who have broken jaws, and they've been out for a while. So if he's in there and he's playing, that's pretty uncommon.
What's your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, what do you make of the whole thing?
I think his influence on that team is immeasurable. I think it's good to have him in if you can. My concern is, you're going to have him and Grizz both in. You have to dress 7D. Now you're pulling out a forward, and I think that's been, you know, their strength is all the lines at different points are clicking. So it's who comes out? Who do you bring out of the lineup? You cannot. That's the only time the Blues have had success in this series is when the Bruins have been down to 5D. So you're really taking a risk. But it's a risk I guess you're willing to take because you're talking about your captain. You're talking about a pretty good defenseman in Grizzly, too. It's really tough.
Do you think pulling Backus is a real loss?
No, I don't think it's that bad. I think that you'll be able to spot guys in up in there, too. But then again, you remember when Backus came into the lineup when he wasn't playing and then he came in, he gave a nice little boost, and this is a big team. So, no, I mean, it's not huge. But at the same rate, even with that worst-case scenario, what happens if either of them can't finish the game? Then you're it's a tough one, but I would rather have them in the lineup.
You don't sound all that, impressed. I shouldn't say impressed. That's the wrong word. You clearly, like, we hear Chara's playing, and there's this buzz in the city. You're not approaching it that way. You have more trepidation than most people, it sounds like.
For the standpoint of him playing, it's huge for them, the team. Even if he's playing, which I would assume limited minutes, that's enormous. Just to know that this guy's playing with a broken jaw, I mean, you'll get goosebumps. Just I get goosebumps now thinking about it. I just get concerned because you're talking about a position that you have two guys that you're hoping that they can both play, and they're hoping that they both can finish. And
what would you do if you were
I just
the coach?
I think of worst case scenario. No, I would do the exact same thing, but I would be nervous about it.
I mean, would you pull out someone who's totally healthy from deeper on the depth chart and sit those two guys because it's more trouble than it's worth? That's what it sounds like.
I'm kind of looking at it as I would. It's because there's two guys that are banged up. If it was one, it's different. There's two, and so let's say worst case scenario, neither of them can finish or be effective in what they need to do. Even with a seventh D, you're still it's tough. I don't know. I would almost prefer to have either a John Moore or Stephen Kampfer in, but then not over Z. Z's presence is I don't know, man. It's tough. I mean, as long as they go and they play and you're not in that situation, it's going to be great. It's a big emotional lift. So all those things are great. I just look at it from the standpoint, and a lot of times you have coaches that look at it as I've always been in positions where I've never had a broken jaw, but when you come back from injury and the coach says to you in the playoffs, listen, I cannot dress you and you not finish. This is your call. We can't do that. So that's it's a slippery slope.
Mike Rupp of the NHL Network joining us here on Canal Street. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're the Blues, do you target both of those guys?
You hit them every chance you get. I mean, you don't do it in a dirty way. You don't do it. I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious if you're targeting Z's head, because most people are going to have to leave their feet for that. But you just sit there and, you know, it's barbaric. It's sometimes our sport, but you don't do that. So yeah. It's going to be, hey, guys, listen, they got some guys banged up. Everybody's banged up to some degree. These two, every time they touch the puck, you finish your hit. And all that can do also is just make those players just maybe have a little trepidation. I don't think a Z would necessarily have that, but just maybe hesitate or rush a play. But you're gonna hit. I mean, it's no different. You're gonna hit in every guy, every play. So I would expect that for those guys.
Mike, how do you see the series right now? Is St. Louis taking control, or is it just simply we're in the middle of a back and forth?
My biggest thing, I find it really. I don't know if I see any team winning two games in a row in this series, which bodes well for this team in Boston, because obviously with the home ice advantage. But you have you sit there. I don't know if St. Louis has another level. I think game four was the best game they can bring. I know Boston's got multiple levels. I just really do. I'm not saying it because I'm sitting here with you guys. I just think Boston can crank it up. If they crank it up here, I don't know if St. Louis has a higher level than they had game four. So, with that being said, with Chara and all that stuff and guys coming back from injury, I mean, these are storybook type stuff. This is what, these are the memories you hear and you talk about in sports. So this is kind of setting the table for it.
Has the officiating become a factor in this series?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's, you always have some, arguments of this and that. I mean, I know even the Craig Berube was mentioning, was it after game three?
Right. Is there a coincidence that he came out, said what he said, and all of a sudden the whistles went away?
Yeah, it's gamesmanship. I guarantee you that's why he said it. Because, listen, this is a guy that when they had that hand pass in the San Jose series, he never makes excuses for his team. That's what he's just, this is what happened. We're going to move on. I guarantee you the message he's saying to the media, kind of floating it out there, he is not saying that behind closed doors. He's saying we're not moving fast enough. That's why we're taking penalties. We're chasing the game, all those things, and that's right. That's why those penalties are being called. But it's gamesmanship. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the refereeing changes for that. But I haven't found it to be overly egregious in either way.
Mike Rupp, NHL Network. Of all the Bruins that you need to see more from, who's first on your list? If you're Bruce Cassidy, if you're Don Sweeney, and you're looking at your roster and you say, we need more from this guy, who are you looking at?
I'll be honest. If we go back to what forward you would take out, I was thinking David Bax, but I was also thinking Danton Heinen. Danton Heinen had, I thought, probably his best game last game. So he hasn't really been in his groove. So I would say that line, that second line, that Krejci line, David Krejci, he's a very, outside of this market, he's a very underappreciated, underrated player in this league. If he can get going, get that line going, I want more from him in the finals.
What about Marchand?
I don't worry about those guys. I just think those guys are going to get it done.
They're all zeros up 5-on-5.
He's had one shot in the last two games.
Really? I didn't even know that. One
it's
shot
last
two.
Zero in the last game.
Yeah.
Zero.
I don't know. I just think that those guys, I think one of the things when you talk about them is for the last 2 years in the regular season, they literally never have a night off. They go every single night. So finally, I just feel like they're going to find it. They're going to, you know, you got three games here, potentially, three games left. I would have to think that that line would be cooking for at least two of those games. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when that line cooks, they win.
So 0 points, 5-on-5 for that line.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy when you think about it. But that's what, you know, you just got to keep playing. I think that the Bruins are a faster team. Get to that power play. Get to the power play. You got to make a team take penalties on you. The St. Louis Blues are nowhere near as quick of a team as Boston. So you get those calls when you force them. You get a step on a guy, go to the net, make him pull you down, make him have some obstruction. So I would be concerned, but I don't see it lasting. They'll find their way out of it.
Final question. The minute we have left, your thoughts on Jordan Binnington? Is he susceptible? Is he vulnerable here?
Well, his numbers after a win are below average. They're not good. I think he's like an 8.99 or something after a win in the playoffs. I don't know what you could chalk that up to. The team maybe letting off the gas a little bit. He's got to fix that if they have any intentions in winning, because they've got to win. You know, they've got to win two games here, and you know, he always responds after a loss. I think both goalies, I don't think Tuukka has been as challenged as maybe he has in other rounds. Both of them they've been good. They haven't been probably what they were to get here, but susceptible. It seems like they, you know, the team likes to go for his five hole. You know, teams have been kind of targeting that area, but listen, I don't know that guy. I think both these guys, they're like machines. I don't get either of them. They both have been awesome this postseason. And, you know, the concern is just it's pretty generic. You make life miserable for them when you can, and just get a lot of shots on net.
Okay, you can watch Stanley Cup champion and NHL Network analyst Mike Rupp here on NHL Tonight, which airs before and after every Stanley Cup final game. Mike, thanks so much for stopping by again. We appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks.
Mike,
for
thanks
me.
A lot.
Okay, we'll watch on TV
you.
Tonight. Here's an update from Murray, and we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.